Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm so glad you could join us for today's message. And today I'm going to begin in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. That's where I'm going to start, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. But I'm going to be going through several scriptures if you want to write these down or if you want to see if you can follow along fast with me as I go through. But we'll begin at 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And the title of the message, and this may sound strange, but this is the title, Faith, Faith, and Faith. Now, you may say, well, why would you say faith three times? Well, in this message, I'm going to show you how the word faith, or sometimes faithful, in the Scripture, within different context, means specifically different things, which all combine really to take us to the same place where we need to go, which obviously is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation, faith that brings repentance. But I think a lot of people are so confused about faith today. A lot of people have the idea that faith is just believing, but believing is some elusive idea that has more to do with just wishful thinking or hoping that something will come about when you have no real basis or real knowledge to think that. And so, in other words, all you have to do is believe, believe, believe. You know, we have today what we call faith healers, which are false preachers, who basically tell people something like this, that if you have a sickness or an illness or some kind of a handicap, that I can heal you if you will believe enough that it can come true. It's kind of like when you wish upon a star, that kind of thing. And that's not faith in the Bible. And of course, they leave themselves an out. If you don't get healed, it's not because they didn't have the power, it's because you didn't believe enough. And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. And then you have today's modern, what we call word of faith movement, which is another false gospel. And they claim, you know, all you have to do is speak it, and then it'll come true. Believe it enough, speak it enough, that kind of thing. But that's not faith in the Bible. The word faith is basically in the New Testament, has to do with knowledge. And that's what it is. It's the word pistis, and we have a branch of philosophy called epistemology, which has that basic word in it, which is the study or the pursuit of knowledge. But it's knowledge that is based upon God's Word. Now, that's the key. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I know whom I have believed. See, that faith, his believing was based upon knowledge. Well, let me give you several scriptural examples of the three ways that the word faith is used in the Bible. Faith, faith, and faith. And the first example I want to give you is in 2 Corinthians 13, 5. And what we're going to be talking about here is what I call the faith. The faith. And it says in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or disqualified. Now you notice the term there, the faith. What is that talking about? Well, anytime in that kind of context that you see the word faith, what it means is the doctrine of God, the body of doctrine, the faith. What faith are you? In other words, what do you believe? Not that you believe, but what do you believe? And the exhortation from the Apostle Paul here, as he was led by the Holy Spirit to write this, was to examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Do I believe the body of doctrine, the true doctrine, the gospel doctrine? The gospel, see, would be the faith. What is my doctrine? You see, true believing must be based upon right doctrine as taught in the Bible, as revealed in God's Word. And that's what he's saying here, examine yourselves. And how do I examine myself? I examine myself by looking into the Word of God. What does the Word of God teach? What does the Bible say about God? Is my faith based upon what the Bible says about God, or is it based upon some human idea or some human opinion? Because if my faith, if my belief system is not based upon what God's Word says about God and about me and about salvation through Christ, then it's a false faith. Do you understand that? Over in 2 John and verse 9, it says, if there come any, like talking about preachers and people seeking fellowship, he said, if any transgress and bring not the doctrine of Christ. Well, what is the faith, the doctrine? Well, it tells us that God is holy and just and righteous and that He must punish sin. He's a just God. It does tell us that God is merciful and loving and gracious, but not at the expense of His justice and His truth and His righteousness. God is love, but He still must be just. He cannot love me or you or any sinner apart from justice being satisfied. And what does the Bible say about me? It says I'm a sinner who deserves nothing but condemnation and eternal death. It says that I cannot earn my salvation by my works. That's what the faith says. It tells me that I have no hope of salvation by anything I do or even decide to do. That salvation is conditioned on Christ, and that's what the faith says about salvation. It's by grace through the righteousness of God in Christ. The gospel, the doctrine, the faith is the revelation of the righteousness of God. The Bible tells me that among men, fallen men and women, we fell in Adam, ruined by the fall, and that we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins and cannot achieve what we must have in order to be saved and to be accepted with God, and that by nature we don't even want salvation God's way. That if left to ourselves, our own wills, we would not choose God. That's what the faith says. The Bible says that salvation comes totally by the grace of God, unearned and undeserved by us, and is based upon the righteousness of God, which is the merits of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the faith says. The faith, the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of Christ. That's the doctrine of His person. Who is Jesus Christ? The Bible says that He is God manifest in the flesh. Every bit God, every bit human, without sin. Now that's what the faith says. Now if you don't believe that Christ is God, or if you don't believe that He is human, or that if you believe that He was made a sinner, then you don't believe the faith. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You're not in the faith. The Bible talks about not only the glorious person of Christ, but the finished, accomplished work of Christ on Calvary. The faith says, the doctrine says, that Christ redeemed his people from their sins, that he satisfied the justice of God on their behalf, that he brought in an everlasting righteousness of infinite value, which God has imputed, charged, accounted to them, and that ensures their eternal salvation and final glory. If you believe that any for whom Christ died perish eternally, then you're not in the faith. You have faith in something else, but it's not the faith. And that's what we're talking about over in the book of Jude. Listen to this, Jude in verse 3 of the book of Jude. It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," there's only one way of salvation, common to all who are saved, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." That's the doctrine. So if your doctrine is not of the Bible, you're not in the faith. Now let me go to the second term, faith. Faith, faith, and faith. All right. The next way that faith is used, and this is a big controversy among some translators, is when the Bible speaks of the faith of Jesus Christ. Or we might say it better this way, the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And what are you talking about there? Well, what that means is sometimes you'll see the word faith, and you can turn to Romans chapter 3 for this one. Romans 3:21, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Christ, before the foundation of the world, entered into a covenant with the Father and the Spirit. It's called the eternal covenant, the everlasting covenant of grace. The Father chose Christ to be the Savior of His people. He chose His people and gave them to Christ. And Christ agreed to be their surety, which means the demerit, the debt of their sins was charged to Him. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And Christ agreed to be their surety. He agreed to do what was necessary to save them from their sins and make them righteous in God's sight. Christ agreed. That's the covenant. The gospel is the preaching of the terms of that covenant, showing how salvation was all conditioned on Christ, and Christ fulfilled those conditions. How did He do it? He came to this world and took into union with Himself a perfect, sinless humanity, God-man. He kept the law perfectly, without any sin at all, without any breaking of the law. He was the perfect God-man, and He obeyed unto death as the substitute of His people, taking their place on the cross, going under the wrath of God, being made a curse for them, being made sin for them, and He died for their sins to pay that debt to God's law and justice. He was buried and arose again the third day, and He ascended unto the Father, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for His people. Now, He did all that, which means this: He was faithful to do what He agreed to do. Now, that's in contrast to us. You see, by nature, we're unfaithful. But Christ was perfectly faithful. Now let me show you that in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. He'd already said that by deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. But He says in verse 21 of Romans 3, "But now the righteousness of God." And what is the righteousness of God? It's the merits of Christ's obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people. "The righteousness of God without the law is manifested." It's publicly displayed, made known, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, do you see that term in verse 22 that says, "by faith of Jesus Christ"? Now, some translations we'll translate that "by faith in Jesus Christ." And my friend, it's true that everyone who is saved by the grace of God will have faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in the third word, faith. And that's necessary. But that's not what's being said here in Romans 3. The context tells you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the righteousness of God without the law. Now, who did that? That's Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end, the finishing, the completion, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And what he's talking about here is the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to fulfill all righteousness on behalf of God's people and secure their salvation based upon his righteousness imputed to them. This is the work of Christ. This is not a work that God does within us. The righteousness of God is not a work that God does it within us. God does a work within his people by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. But that's not the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is totally, exclusively, uniquely the work of Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people. And he himself, by himself, was faithful to do all that he agreed to do before the foundation of the world. The Bible says, great is thy faithfulness in Lamentations chapter 3. And that's why we have hope if we're believers. Because Christ was faithful in all that he agreed to do. Over in the book of Philippians chapter 3, listen to this. This is verse 7 of Philippians 3. It says, but what things were gained to me, Paul writing, those I counted lost for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, what do we know of Christ Jesus? That's the doctrine. That's the faith. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. You see, the righteousness that I have before God that's imputed, charged, accounted to me, is a righteousness that Christ was faithful to work out for me. And he says the righteousness which is of God by faith. We receive it by faith, but he's the one who was faithful to do it. So in those contexts, the word faith is referring to the faithfulness of Christ. Somebody asked me one time and said, are you saying we're saved by his believing? That's not what that means. We're saved by what he did, what he was faithful to do. He said, this is what I will do, and he was faithful to do it. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? Maybe you intended to keep it. Maybe you didn't foresee all obstacles. Maybe you didn't have all the means to bring it about. Either way, if you couldn't bring it about, you were unfaithful to do it. But not God. God is faithful. Christ was faithful in all that he agreed to do. And that's the hope of salvation. Now, this brings us to the third faith. And this is the most common way that faith is used. It's in the word believing. And sometimes that word faith is, to have faith, is translated to believe or believing. And what that refers to is God-given faith that brings a sinner in the power of God by his grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to lay hold of him, to grab hold of Christ in a spiritual way, and to trust him. Put all of your eggs in one basket, so one fellow said. That is, my whole salvation is in Christ. And to give you an example of that is Ephesians 2. I quote this verse all the time on this program, Ephesians 2, 8. Listen to this. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's all of grace. It's all unearned. It's all undeserved. It's all by the power and the goodness of God in Christ. But it's through faith, by means of faith. In other words, the way that sinners lay hold of what Christ has accomplished is by God-given faith, because he says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then he lays it out here in verse 10. Listen to this. For we are his workmanship. If you're a believer, if you're born again by the Spirit, you know, Christ said you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. You see, you're not going to believe unless you're born again. And it's not believing that brings the new birth. It's the new birth that brings believing. And that's under the preaching of the gospel. So he says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. If you're a believer, you're the workmanship of God, not yourself, not of your own free will, but of God. He changed your will. Not of works, lest any, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. All of salvation is a gift of God, but that includes faith. The faith to believe, to lay hold of Christ, that brings us to repentance of dead works and idolatry, is a gift of God. And he says, it's not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. There's the new creation. You're not a, if you're a believer, you're not a self-made person. You're a creator. You're a new creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not because of good works, but unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the God-given grace of faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's where sinners begin to call upon the Lord. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is faith. We quote John 3:16 all the time, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The word world there is not everybody without exception. That's referring to God's chosen people in Christ. There's no love from God outside of Christ. And if we're in Christ before the foundation of the world, and if he was faithful to work out our salvation by his cross, by his death, establishing righteousness, he'll bring us to faith. So for whom did Christ die? Those who believe in him, who've been given faith. Now, over in Romans chapter 1, we can see how all these three faiths, the faith, the faithfulness of Christ, and believing in him, faith in him, come together. In Romans 1:16, look, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's the faith, the gospel, the body of, what is the gospel? It's the good news of salvation for sinners, by God's free sovereign grace based upon the faithfulness of Christ to do what he said he would do. So there's the faith, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There's the grace of faith that brings sinners to Christ. We believe in him. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. That's the faithfulness of Christ. The righteousness of God is the merit of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem his people from their sins. It's his righteousness imputed to his people. And he says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith, that is from the gospel, the doctrine, to faith, to the gift of faith, whereupon hearing that message, God brings us to believe it and receive Christ. As it is written, the just or the justified shall live by faith. And what does that mean? That's live. We live if we're justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means we're not guilty. It means we're forgiven of all our sins, but on a just ground. What is that ground? The faithfulness of Christ to put away our sins, to redeem us from our sins. So the justified, and it means to be declared righteous in God's sight based upon the righteousness of God, the merits of Christ, obedience unto death, his righteousness imputed. That's what it is. For he was made sin, Christ who knew no sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Well, the justified, how do I know if I'm justified before God? Because I live that spiritual life given in the new birth, that comes from God, it's the gift of God, living by faith by looking to Christ, by believing in Christ, by resting in Christ, by committing my whole salvation to Him. Remember, I quoted this earlier in 2 Timothy 1:12, where Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Now, what have I committed unto Him? I've committed unto Him my whole salvation, from its inception to final glory, to the ultimate of final glory, all given to Christ. It's all in His hands. It's all conditioned on Him. And that's why when you look into Scriptures and you read these words, it's the context that shows us the meaning. When you see that word faith, what's it talking about? Is it talking about the faith? Is it talking about the faithfulness of Christ? Or is it talking about the faith of the elect of God, about whereby they believe? Sometimes it's talking about all three, like here in Romans 1, 16 and 17. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek also. For therein is the righteousness of God, the work of Christ, the merits of Christ revealed from faith, from the preaching of the gospel, to faith, to those who believe by God-given faith. For as it is written, the justified shall live by faith. And I could give you a lot of different examples going through the Bible of this great truth. Faith, faith, and faith. That there is the faith. What do you believe? What is your doctrine? People today don't like to talk about it, but that's important. If your doctrine is wrong, your believing is wrong. You believe a lie. Believe the truth. Love the truth, and it's in God's Word. Read the Bible. Study the Bible in its context. Use the proper rules of interpretation and examine yourself to whether you be in the faith. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.